Blog Talk Radio.
We walking toward is becoming wealthy to the level that it's not gonna go away, and that, you know, we create a situation that it lasts longer than us. What is money in 2017 going into 18? You know, is it paper? You know, is it agreed value? What is it? What makes something currency? You know, so that was what the debate was, and everybody was revolving around that as a question. But just cryptocurrency is, I think it's like a form of karma. I think that the banks had such a crooked model that the engineers and software designers and programmers was like, we're not going to fix this with a protest. We're not going to fix this with a march on Wall Street. We're going to fix this with technology. And they created an equalizer that just checkmated the whole game. You know, that's my view on it. It's just like the energy balancing out what went wrong over there, and just the disadvantage that the people were at, the cryptocurrency is balancing that out, or will in the long run. It's going to take a while, but it's going to create an option, and you're not going to have to go operate in that system that led to like 2008, all the banks collapsing and the real estate bubble and all the malpractice of power that, you know, was happening in the banking industry and the central banks and all that. So it's like, damn, that was slick. Whoever came up with that was slick. If you really peep it from a political point of view, you know what I mean? That was real effortless checkmate. You know what I mean? They exited before anybody knew what was up.
And it still got bailed out.
You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy. It's an interesting conversation. I've had it with some people, and, you know, some people are, like, stuck on money so much. And I'm like, man, money's not even backed by the gold system anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, what is it really worth? It's whatever we, you know, want to put on it, but really it's just a piece of paper, you know, just like a credit card, just a piece of plastic. And it's the inferred value that we put on it, and as long as everybody assumes that it's worth that, it is. But if somebody tomorrow is like, that's not worth shit,
mm-hmm.
it's really not backed by anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why not try out a new currency?
It's a lot of reasons that, you know, political reasons why it's a big thing, and there's financial reasons why it's a big thing, you know. And even like on a simple level of like spending money overseas or something, to be able to do that peer-to-peer and not have no middleman with a fee and with a policy, it's just a direct transaction that's, you know, regulated by a public ledger. That's a big innovation if you understand like banking and PayPal and all that type of shit. You know, somebody told me that it's like what the internet was in like the early 90s, and think about what that turned into and all the billion-dollar businesses that was built off of that. That's like what the cryptocurrency blockchain opportunity is similar to. So it'll take a while before we see it mature and really turn into what it can potentially be.
Currency, there's less than 1% penetration, and that's a fact, because I can't spend Bitcoin here. I gotta still spend US dollars or MasterCard credit or, you know, established credit. Any one of these stores, there's no penetration in the real world. But there's a $27 to $800,000 increase in investment in this space. But there's a 1% penetration in the real world. So what happens when it gets 5% real world, when more people can spend their cryptocurrency at the store, at the restaurant, on the airplane? Which is why we came to Amsterdam, because there's a city out here where the whole city is cryptocurrency friendly. And this is an example of what's going to happen to the rest of the world. And we think that if you get in now, when the value spreads and the accessibility spreads, you'll be sitting on the right chair. And, you know, being out here further brought that to my attention, reinforced my belief in it, and we put our money where our mouth is.
All right, y'all, one second, please. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm trying to do a check. I see a guest waiting to get on. I will get to you in just 1 minute. I'm just trying to figure out some of this technical difficulties. Typically, I do a direct dial-in with my headset. Some reason that option wasn't available, so I'm trying to run it through my phone so we can make sure all the audio is good. Always. So one second, y'all. Let me work out these details. These bugs out. So if you can hear me, I can't check the chat anymore. So whoever's in the chat room and on the YouTube side, I can't check those chats right now. I'll try to get to y'all in a minute. Let me just see. I want to see if y'all can hear me right now. Let me try to bring in this guest real quick and see what's up. Bring in this guest real quick. Hello?
Crypto, how's it going? It's Louis from South Africa.
Hey, how you doing, man? Okay, that's you.
Yeah. How you doing? Yeah.
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing good. I'm just trying to figure out a couple of these bugs. So you can hear me good on your side?
100%. Loud and clear.
All right, cool. So it's a pleasure to have you on. So let me just go ahead.
Hello.
Yes. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah. You're right back. I just went dead for a while, but yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, so you didn't hear none of that. So as I was just telling the audience that, you know, you have a blog where you write some articles. You're a full-stack web developer. So I've shared a couple of the articles that you wrote specifically on carrot bars. And by the way, let me just say to everybody out there, hope you're doing well during this, you know, situation that we're going through worldwide with this virus and the economy and all that. I hope you guys are doing well. But we're going to get to this truth. So anything else that you'd like to say about yourself?
Yeah, no, thanks, Crypto Talk. I'm loving the stuff that you're putting out there. I'm watching your videos and all your live streams with 24 Karat Chris and John Walsh.
Yeah.
You're doing really good work. So well done, man. Just something, a little bit about me. We're actually under a 21-day lockdown at the moment because of the coronavirus pandemic. So we are all stuck indoors, and it's been a strange time because we're not allowed to go out except for emergencies. Only shops and medical facilities are open, and people are scared, and also the opportunists are busy preying on people's financial situation. Just yesterday, I actually saw a video about carrot bars, and one of the local affiliates was pitching investment opportunities in carrot bars. They don't come out saying it outright. It's an opportunity to hedge your money against the uncertain times. So, I mean, that's very unethical and very, very deliberate that they frame it like that. And then they lure you into a call with them where they then pitch carrot bars. The business opportunity as an investment. I just think that's very unethical to do it and to rope people in like that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they would do that, actually.
Yeah, so same here. And I've actually been on a crusade to spread awareness and to write some articles about it as you feature to your listeners and your YouTube channel.
Hello? Yeah, so did you mention that they're coming out with a blockchain-powered car? Did I read that correctly?
Yes. Yes, that was actually in the German publication. The handle flat wrote about that. Yes, apparently that's one of their big dreams. But we... I mean, we'll see if that happens. They've got so many unrealized promises that I won't be surprised if it never happens.
They might want to get that phone situation taken care of first, you know, get that blockchain on the phone. Then we can – and what about the rocket? They're trying to go to space a little bit? They're trying to go to space? Is that going to be a blockchain-powered rocket that they're working on? Or what? Yeah.
I think they're trying to emulate Tesla. They're trying to be Tesla and Apple and all the big tech companies in one. It's very, very, very ambitious, but not realistic at all.
They're literally trying to take KBC to the moon, huh? Power rocket.
But unfortunately, it hasn't really gone to the moon. I mean, it's at an all-time low, and it's there was a bit of a pump the last 2 days, I think, but not much. I mean, it's still very low and very, very looking bleak for all the investors. Speaking of all the blockchain phones and laptops and all that stuff, I mean, the K1 Impulse has really been a disappointing phone. I've spoken to an affiliate who had a meeting with two of the big gold elites. Gold Director Elite or something, two of them, and the guys have their iPhone and their K1 Impulse. They just use it as a sales pitch, but they don't actually use it. It's just there in their pocket. So it hasn't actually replaced their day-to-day phone because it isn't that great. It's actually a terrible phone. So, I mean, how do you sell something to other people that you won't even use yourself? You know what I'm saying? It's really
well. I noticed that a lot about a lot of the things that they do. Like they don't even push their own coin. Like when you watch some of their videos, they'll tell you to buy Bitcoin all day, but they could half-heartedly at best even try to pump their little coin. And I think those pumps that came. Because it's back down again, and I'm pretty sure that was all just one person, because the lines were straight up, straight down, straight up, straight down, almost like he was trying to make people think the coin's going to go up so that they can invest in it and buy it, and then he could dump it again for a profit, because he's done that like twice before. Mr. Harold Cease.
Yeah. And, I mean, they control the Karatbit exchange themselves, so they could push false volumes on that exchange and easily manipulate the currency, the KBC currency, and that would definitely affect the market because they have such a significant portion of the coins on that exchange. So I'm not surprised.
Let me see if this...
Yeah, well, let's talk about around the KBC being gold-backed. I see the narrative change to it being gold-based. So they're not actually saying that it's gold-backed anymore. And that's interesting because I think the backlash has been so severe against that claim. And because it's not true, they have to actually move away from that language and admit that it's based on gold, but there isn't actually any gold backing KBC at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing as well, that they're basically broke. Because you also wrote in the November article that the gold was, now you deal with euros, I guess, but it ended up being 50% markup,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly. It's marked up very high. So the product, the gold sales aren't actually, the affiliates don't make their money from the sales. It's just a way to make the business legitimate. So you have this really expensive product and different MLMs work like this. I mean, Herbalife and other companies do this as well. You have a really expensive product that you actually don't care if it sells, but it's there to make the business legitimate, and then you want people to be recruited so that those sales can just trickle down the layers of the affiliate. So you actually just have people selling to the downline the whole time, and you're moving stock, but it's not to new people. It's the same people just buying stuff. And this is what happens with Karat Boards. It's a typical MLM company, and it's not meant to sell gold. It's meant to recruit and to grow the network.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of MLM companies. They are, their business practices are questionable, and it's actually unethical the way they recruit people. And I mean, the way Karat Boards operates is typical of that mentality. It has the same hallmarks and features. I think Chris did a video on it recently where he looked at the FTC definition of what a Ponzi scheme is, and and Carrot Bars has all the same characteristics as a classic Ponzi scheme.
Let me ask you this: What put KBC or Carrot Bars International on your radar in the first place? Like, what made you interested in investigating and writing on that? How that come to your radar?
Okay, so I have a friend. He's an ex-friend now because of this. He's an affiliate, a South African affiliate, about two or three levels down from the top guys. And he posts about it regularly and hosts live streams on his Facebook page. So I came across that, and he actually contacted me to invest through him. So I did some digging and due diligence, and then ended up writing those articles. And I actually spoke about art up against it last year in November, when the South African regulator, we are one here, called the FSCA, they launched they released a report that said that Carrot Bars is under investigation. So I posted negative comments on Twitter, which drew the attention of South African affiliates, and then through their downline, this person contacted me directly and threatened me with legal action, which still hasn't happened. I haven't received anything. They've just been empty threats. So I actually backed up temporarily and lay low, but I mean the movement or the pushback and the backlash against Carrot Bars is growing steadily, and through networking with other people, I've just realized that we have a legitimate reason to take them on, and this has actually become a personal matter for me. I haven't invested anything in the company or KBC or whatsoever. It's literally just about the cause for me to spread awareness and to warn people not to invest in this.
Yeah, and I noticed that the resistance, if you want to call it that, is growing significantly, because they when you have a business that has to utilize so much of their time convincing people to trust them and that it's not a scam, that's a red flag. What I mean? Like a lot of these guys turn off their comments. I mean, I guess that's smart, because when you look at some of their comments, you have more people going against them than that's for them. And these are all former people that used to be affiliated with them. So what I've noticed is they prey on people not having any basic knowledge of what they're doing. They don't have basic knowledge, so they can sell them sexy buzzwords like blockchain, like blockchain car, like really?
Mm.
Blockchain phone, they're just selling them on these principles that sound sexy, because I love to hear blockchain in something, especially when I didn't know what blockchain was. It made me feel some kind of way, just blockchain, oh, that sounds cool. But you ask them what a function of a blockchain phone would be, and they can't tell you. So, that's why part of this is, for me as well, is to expose these, because if you're in the crypto space or any kind of marketing or something like that, that scams are very harmful to the branding or the whole association of crypto or anything else like this. So we have to clear the space out, and the more people get educated, the more they realize, because that's how I came to terms with this happening to not be legit, it has to be a scam. The more I learned about it, it just wasn't adding up.
And that's it. You're spot on. The more you do digging and do your own research and not take the words at face value, the more you see the truth underneath that surface. And a lot of the rhetoric from Carrot Bars is that, and they say this to their own affiliates, is that they mustn't listen to anything on the internet because everyone's haters and everyone's spreading divisive information about the company, that there's a smear campaign against Carrot Bars, all that stuff, you hear that often. It's part of that mentality where people just block out any negative information that they receive. They almost have sort of a bias just to take in the positive, and they become blind to anything that's negative about the company. So we have to deal with that situation where they're so blinded by what's going on. And obviously, they're also heavily invested. So, I mean, if you're that deep into something, you actually want to, you have to make it work. So a lot of the times,
yeah.
People that are roped into this, they actually have a choice. Do they just take the and you know, do they get other people in and try and make some money back, at least, you know, on their own investment?
Right.
So a lot of the time, people will just perpetuate that cycle and just carry on with this scam because that's their only way out.
Well, I'll say this much. I know that it can sound kind of harsh the way some of us may speak about this Carrot Bars International, but you can remove how we speak or how you feel and just actually focus on certain principles. And what you'll notice is, okay, like for instance, 24 karat Chris, Grit Grind Gold. He might talk a little bit that make him feel some kind of way, but he's honest enough to tell you that, hey, buying gold isn't a scam. You know, even if it's overpriced, you know, it may be a ripoff, but it's not a scam as far as like illegal. That's legit. But now that they have been turning towards cryptocurrency and that their marketing plan isn't really selling gold, it's selling membership, then that's when it becomes problematic. And the fact that they don't pump their product, they pump the opportunity to sell memberships, and they've broke so many promises, and they've been banned in several countries. Can you go in on that a little bit? You're right about that as well. They don't have a license
in
a bank and so on.
Yeah, they're banned in our neighboring country of Namibia. That's just to the west of South Africa. I mean, they're still, our regulator hasn't banned them, but they said that it falls out of their regulatory scope. So consumers are on their own if they trade or invest with the company, which isn't reassuring at all. I mean, it's literally like washing their hands off this completely. The BaFin, the German regulator, there's still an investigation ongoing because Carrot Bars appealed their ruling, which I mean it's still pending, and until that's done, then they'll reinstitute whatever they decide from there. So they haven't actually the Carrot Bars affiliates will tell you that the German regulator ruled in their favor, but it's not true. It's actually still pending because they appealed the case, so we have to call them out on that. The other thing was the Miami bank license. I mean, that's been proven to not exist at all. There's no bank in Miami registered. The only place that's registered in Miami is a shared office space. And yeah, it doesn't, it's rent by the hour. So it doesn't even belong to Carrot Bars. There's never been an application for a license, and we probably will never see one that will be approved.
Right. Nor does it make sense that they would have a bank for a cryptocurrency in the first place. But you wouldn't know that if you don't really know about cryptocurrencies. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
That's what they bank on. They bank on people not knowing.
Yes, you mentioned this earlier. They bank on people being ignorant and slightly technologically impaired. So the ideal person to rope in is someone middle-aged, okay, I'm just generalizing, middle-aged, sort of not really tech-savvy, that has a general idea of stuff. I mean, they use like legit stuff, and they just mix in all the, you know, rat poison is like 90% good stuff, and then there's like a little portion that's poison. That's how they do it.
Right.
They'll sell you on this
right.
amazing dream, which is probably a lot of truth, and then they'll just get you the last bit, and that's all like lies, but it's mixed in with the truth, so you can't tell what's true and what's not. So that's how they do it, and they just fleece these unwitting people. And also the way they position it as a business opportunity. So a lot of the people that get in on this is people that have some cash lying around, but they don't know what to do with it, and then they're also looking for a way out because I mean, everyone wants to be their own boss and get out of the 95 grand, you know, and just be an entrepreneur. So they say, look, if you do this, you can start your own business. You can be your own boss, and this is your way to financial security. So it's that whole pipe dream of this amazing lifestyle, because the affiliates that sell it to them, they also portray that lifestyle on social media. So you have that element of social proof where they portray themselves as successful and independent entrepreneurs that don't do office jobs. And that's very important, a very important ingredient in the way that they position this business opportunity.
Yes, it's the bait and switch, basically. And like you said, I mean, rat poison might be sweet for all we know. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it might taste great. But at the end, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might want to do the other. Mm-hmm. So, also, so they're not claiming to be backed by gold anymore. Like, they took
not
that claim away.
I saw a presentation, and they've done away with it, and the affiliate that did the presentation actually said, please tell your downline this very important fact that KBC is now based on gold. He actually mentioned it a few times that they have to retrain the people not to say it's backed by gold, because I think they've opened themselves up to legal steps there, because they can't. It's not backed by gold. We know that for a fact. If there are gold reserves, it's insignificant. And I mean, if you look at the supply of KBC on CoinMarketCap, there's 12 billion KBC apparently in circulation. Well, that's the maximum total supply that can ever exist. So, I mean, yeah, it's wholly impossible, totally impossible to have that much gold in storage so that everything's backed by 1 ounce of gold. It's really impossible.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that the mine that they claimed from Madagascar, as you wrote, is actually mining Zikaron and something else. It's not even registered to them. So they haven't proven that they own gold. Nor should you believe they own gold if they're selling it for such a high price, but they're not even pushing that as a main point of sale for their company. I mean, if they're really concerned with helping people grow their wealth and store gold because of these financial crisis, then why are they not pushing gold as much as pushing getting materials in the phone and making a bunch of promises?
Mm. I think they have to push multiple products, because the one product line doesn't sell fast enough, so they have to diversify and get other stuff to get people hooked. And also, if the money starts drying up, you have to have something new for your existing people so that they keep buying back into it. Like they're currently selling the multi-packs, which is apparently it's not a product. It's literally another opportunity to sell. So there's no physical product even included in this package. So it's just gone full on pyramid scheme vibes here. And it's not selling very well. So they have to now reposition and find something else that they can sell to their people. To the existing people that are in the scheme already. And speaking about the mine, the mine in Madagascar, the Fort Dauphine mine, Carrot Boss does not have a claim on that mine. It's a complete fabrication. The mine belongs to another mining company, and the documents that they provided for that mine were plagiarized from a Swiss document of another mining company. So, yeah, that's an outright fabrication and lie that they did there. And there's also, I mean, they came to have a mine in Guinea, also in North Africa and Brazil, but I have not seen any legit documentation for any of those mines. So, I mean, it's pure speculation. And based on the Madagascar mine, we can assume that they probably don't have any mining claims there either.
No, I mean, if they actually had gold and they wanted to back their coin with it for real, then you would expect that it would go up in price. And even if at this point, let's say they got a ton of gold and they want
to... Yes, if they had a ton of gold...
That Harold Sees would be willing... Huh? You got to excuse us. The technical difficulties making it kind of challenging. I wasn't able to directly connect as I usually do. So, but as I was saying...
If they wanted to actually back it with gold,
then you would expect the price to go up. However, for them to do that, Harold would have to commit to taking a large loss, and I wouldn't count on that happening.
No, exactly. And I mean, you could easily prove the amount of gold reserves that they have. Any outside third-party company could audit their gold reserves if they wanted to. So it's not that it's impossible. It's just that they're not willing to be transparent and to open themselves up to scrutiny. So, I mean, that's a massive red flag. If you are a company that claims to be backed by gold, that's something you should have in your own corporate. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's good governance. If you have a company that sells gold or is backed by gold, you need to have an audited statement of your reserve of your asset that you claim to hold.
Right. And that would add more confidence and trust to their company, which would allow them to flourish and not have to focus on selling cheap phones for $1,300. So are you in the crypto at all? I mean, I know you're a tech dude, so I'm sure you understand the mechanics and all.
Yeah. I'm actually a software developer. I don't work in blockchain, but I mean, in my spare time and as a hobby, I love crypto and buy and sell crypto and write about it. I've written some articles for some blogs, other blogs as well. I'm not a hardcore Bitcoin maximalist, but I love Bitcoin the most. And then obviously I also support other crypto projects that have a use case.
Right. And you know, and the more I learn, the more I have to, you know, I'm not a Bitcoin maximalist myself, but all the PhDs in crypto are all Bitcoin maximalists, it seems like. And they're always telling me that. So I would say at least that would be the first one that you'd want to know. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't know nothing about Bitcoin, then you have no business messing with the KBC or any of these other coins, in my opinion. No business whatsoever.
I actually agree with you. And, I mean, the first starting point of crypto is getting to know the mechanics and how cryptocurrency works, and start with Bitcoin and learn that first. And no one should invest in any cryptocurrency unless they actually have gone through those steps and know how to buy it, how to store it safely themselves, how it works on a basic level. And they shouldn't be buying it from someone else like Garrett was at all. That's just the worst thing to do. It's like it's like jumping in the deep end of a pool but not being able to It's like jumping into the deep end of a pool, but not being able to swim. It's just suicide.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And that's why they're drowning, because they can't swim.
Yeah.
And even those who are pitching them, they don't know enough. I see them do certain things, and they don't really know enough either. They don't know much more. And they don't steer their people to learn it. Because the more you learn it, like I said, the more you'll understand that this just can't work. Like, if they would have came out with a stable coin from the gate and backed that by gold, you would have a badass coin right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You'd have a coin that you could store. You'd have a coin that you can say, okay, you want to do that 75 coin per gram buyback. Okay, cool. You'd be able to do that. You'd be able to prove that you actually have that with the audit. And then the blockchain ledger would reflect actual gold moving. It would increase in value. You'd be able to purchase with it. You'd be able to use it for cross-border transactions, and it would just it would be a nice coin with actual utility, and it would add more value to their whole brand. And I believe that when they made that, we're going to let you sell 100 of the coins for a gram deal, I think they were expecting the coin was going to be 75 to a dollar a coin.
Yeah, I think they actually they weren't prepared themselves. I mean, they were actually just a physical gold company selling the cash gold and the gold bars. But the crypto or the blockchain buzzword was a thing of the moment, so they decided to get into it, and they just wanted to get a blockchain out quickly. So they went with Ethereum, the Ethereum blockchain, and put their own smart contract on that blockchain, and there you have it, a quick cryptocurrency. But there wasn't any real intent behind it. It was just a reason to get people to invest in the company. So I mean, it's easy to get a coin up and running, but there's no use case for it, and there's nothing backing that coin, then obviously it's not going to grow at all. So the only people that get rich are the people that actually make it, because they take money in their ICO, and everyone else is the losers, which happened with exactly what happened here.
Right. Yeah, I made the point before that only 600 reps own the coin.
600? That's not a lot.
They say they have a. Can you hear me? They say they only have a million reps, or they say they have a million reps, but only 600 actually own any KBC. That's less than 1/20% just by the numbers. So then when you take that and the fact that over 93% of the coin is owned by one wallet, it really almost doesn't matter what the rest are doing with the coin. Virtually.
Exactly. I saw you work out that math on Twitter. I still actually retweeted that. Very nice calculation there. And I mean, if it's 600 reps, they could easily pump the value of KBC, which we've seen now recently. I mean, you could have one chat group with 600 people on it on Telegram and just say, guys, buy now, pump that thing. It's super easy to manipulate the market. I mean, if they control the whole market, that's entirely possible that they're doing it on a regular basis.
Okay, I want to answer a question that somebody sent me, and this just kind of goes to show the lack of, and this isn't to, you know, make fun of this person, but it just goes to show that, the lack of basic knowledge or understanding. So I made a comment before. I said that they were pumping, they were doing the pump and dump, or trying to pump the coin up, and they didn't know what a pump, what I meant by that. I'm going to explain what I meant by pump and dump.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you own by one person.
So pump and dump.
Go ahead. If you could explain that, go ahead.
Oh, cool. So a pump and dump. A pump and dump is when holders, it's basically insider trading on a coin. So you'll have a small group of connected people, usually connected to the organization or the coin, that'll arrange to buy into the coin, driving the price up, but everyone will be in on it. So then they've already invested in the coin at a lower price. And then when the price goes up, a lot of other people will buy into it because of the increase in value. And as soon as that coin reaches a higher price, which is usually significantly higher, they'll all sell at the same time, crashing the price again back down. So then they transfer wealth from the people that have bought to their own pockets. So it's literally a way of getting money from people that are just being exploited.
Right. And we call that the pump fake. It's the good old pump and dump. So when you look at the trading activity that they like, okay, so the coin mooned, if you want to call it that, all the way up to like 0.0036. So it made it to about a third of a penny after it was sitting at about a fifth of a penny for so long. And when you look at the graph,
yeah,
the lines were straight up, straight down, straight up. It didn't look natural at all. It was definitely a pump, right? So now imagine a coin that's only at, let's say, one-fifth of a cent. If they get that thing to pump up to 2 cents, they just, what, made 10 times their money or so right there, or 20 times, you know, 10 times. So now they sell that thing, and now it's going way back down. And you can kind of see that pattern, because that happened when it got up to 12 cents. It happened when it got up to 6 cents. So, yes, they pumped that price up. Now people start buying, thinking, oh, this is the time. We're going to seize the moment. And everybody starts buying. Then he's going to just leave you guys flat again when he dumps it all. And because he owns 93% of the coin, he can manipulate it massively, and he's going to take the biggest profit all day.
Absolutely. Right there. And another thing which I find very interesting is the super nodes thing. Have you seen those nodes that the top affiliates buy into that gives them payouts every month or something? Yeah, apparently they, you know, it's got KBC super nodes, which is also strange because, I mean, this coin is on Ethereum, so the miners that mine Ethereum will create the transactions for KBC. So, I mean, cryptocurrencies like Dash have master nodes that generate coins, because those cryptocurrencies are based on a proof of stake protocol. So you don't actually have mining, you just have people holding the coin, which will generate new coins for you. So on KBC, it's literally impossible to generate coins by having a super node. It doesn't work like that. So again, it's a lack of technical knowledge and people being manipulated. They actually believe that it's possible. So what Carrot Bars is doing is saying they're only paying out those people with new KBC that comes into the system. So it's actually not generated. It's just they're washing their own currency through to their affiliates.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. I'm trying to work out how they working it, but it's not coins that are generated by holding it. It's physically impossible for the Ethereum blockchain to work like that. I mean, in future, there's talk of Ethereum going onto a proof of stake protocol, but that hasn't happened yet, so it's not possible.
Oh, so it's not proof of stake?
No, it's proof of work, same as Bitcoin. And the other thing is that the voice over blockchain phone, I mean, because it's on Ethereum, you can't actually send any voice calls like what we're doing now, or text messages, or anything over a blockchain. You need a second layer solution. So what they want to use is a file storage system called IBFS, which is actually an open source thing that works with the blockchain. But it hasn't been implemented yet. So that technology that Carrot Bars is claiming that they're trying to use, I mean, it's there, but it's actually it's far down the road. They haven't actually implemented it, and there's no working example of a blockchain phone yet anywhere in the world. So I mean, they're not exactly at the edge of innovation here. So I wouldn't put my money on them to get it first.
So what would the concept of, in case I missed it, what would the concept of a voice over blockchain phone be, in your best estimation? Because I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people call it a vaporware because it's a great idea, but it's not something that will actually be made, because, I mean, is there a use case for it? No, because do you want your calls and your messages to be on the blockchain? No, and it won't actually be stored on the blockchain, because it's the Ethereum blockchain. You can't have blocks that have full, you can't store a whole phone call in a block on the blockchain. It's physically impossible. So you need something else, somewhere else to store that information, and then that thing gets hashed and put into a blockchain to verify that it's that specific piece of data. So it's actually complicated, and it's actually not needed. So I mean, there's end-to-end encryption, which what we're doing now. So at least, I mean, if you call someone on Telegram or WhatsApp or Signal, that call is encrypted. The data that goes through the channel is encrypted and decrypted so that no one else can listen to it. So that's actually more than enough for secure communication. You don't need to have it on a blockchain at all. And another argument is that a blockchain is slow because the blocks are created at set intervals every few minutes or so. So, I mean, data transfer happens in real time. So it's actually too slow to record real-time streaming data like what we are doing here now, a streaming call. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know about you, but it sounds wonderful. But again, it's not really practical. And even if you had it, would you use it? And why would you use it? Those are my questions.
Okay. So listen, folks. This is coming from a software developer, man. All right. So I mean, I gave you my ideas before about why I find it didn't work, and he's pretty much saying the same with more detail and technical input. And this is an actual person who would know this kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, because it doesn't make sense. It's almost like saying, well, you have to wait till it's confirmed on the block before the next message can come through or something. Like, why would you? Yeah. But it sounds cool.
It sounds great.
It sounds awesome.
I mean, yeah, the blockchains are really slow. The blockchain is a really slow and expensive database. Why would you use that if you could use a normal database? And I mean, the blockchain is open and transparent. It's a public ledger.
Exactly.
So why would you use a public ledger for your private communication? Doesn't make sense
at all. That's exactly what I was gonna say.
And that protocol, the IBF, you can actually look it up. IBFS, it's the something file system, Internet Blockchain File System or something. It was invented by a guy called Jean Benet, and the lead developer of Carrot Bars, Avidya Tomai, actually claimed in a presentation that Carrot Bars invented that protocol. So they're just ripping off someone else's intellectual property. Well, I mean, he hasn't copyrighted it. It's open source, but they literally claim that they invented it, which is ridiculous. And they haven't implemented it at all. There's no working product, and there's no working blockchain, voice over blockchain protocol anywhere in the world at this moment.
And well, I notice a lot of
right.
blockchain development is open source. So they had run at an open source something that they could have just basically copied and pasted, and they still couldn't get it right. Why? Because it's not possible, nor is it necessary, nor would it be private. So even if they could do what they say they want to do with the blockchain phone, you'd be compromising your privacy, speed, everything. I mean, that's about as ridiculous as a blockchain powered car. Now that's really ridiculous. But what's the details with that?
No, I mean, they haven't even said, I think that was just a random idea that they threw out there. I think it's even too ambitious for them to just even consider that. I mean, why would you want a car on the blockchain? I mean, Tesla could probably pull that off if they wanted to, but not Carrot Bar.
Wow, yeah, Tesla. Wow. It just seems like the same pattern, though, if you think about it. So they plagiarized papers for their so-called mine in Madagascar. That's been proven. They're taking ideas from open source development projects, probably from GitHub or something. They're taking ideas for, I mean, they're biting off of Tesla. So they're basically just coming together with a smorgasbord of random ideas that if they didn't vomit them out their own fucking shit brains, then they just stole it from somebody else, threw it together, threw some fancy words on top, some buzzwords, and told them to go out and sell. Like, they're just pimping. They're over there pimping, man. They're selling dreams over there. That's what we call that over here. We call that selling dreams, man. They're pimping over there at KBC. Let's keep it real.
Yeah. And you see, Chris talked that's why it could be legit, because, I mean, it's based on real things. These things are possible to a degree. And if you put all those possibilities together, it sounds plausible, but it's a lie, because it's just little bits of truth stitched together in the way that they wanted. What's that famous quote? Like, people won't believe small lies, but they'll believe big lies. And it's easier to make a massive, if you create this whole fantasy a big lie, then people will believe it, than small little lies. And this is what we have here. We have all these things together to form a big deception.
Yeah. I mean, well, dude has the right idea as far as how to scam and con people. He studied from the best, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I don't know if you guys covered this in any of your other talks. I mean, the OneCoin scam that went down in Europe, I mean, if you look at what OneCoin was doing with their coin, I mean, there's no blockchain even there at all. And there's a lot of parallels between OneCoin and Carrot Boss. It's actually staggering. I mean, this was just an outright scam. At least Carrot Boss has products and they're trying to make it legit. But it's still the same sort of psychology and marketing and that same hype. I mean, they also have events, big events, and I mean, you have to have one leader at the top that's this enigmatic cult-like figure that's successful and that people can aspire to. Check. You need these events where people can go to conferences with lots of music and aspirational talks. Check. I mean, you see where I'm going. It's just that same blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah. The parallels are just
they're staggering. And I believe, and other people have said this as well, that we'll probably see an exit scam from Carrot Boss before the end of this year. And I think this coronavirus thing will accelerate things dramatically, because it gives them a window of opportunity to actually just lay low and start winding things up. And then, if they are still around in 2021, I'll be very surprised.
I was just going to go there, too. Yeah, and you're not the first person who said that. And I think you're right. This situation is going to accelerate it, and it's going to seal their doom in more than one way. Not only is it going to give an escape route for those on the top who can lay low, send out a little bit of propaganda, and then lay low and slide behind the back door and leave it to crash, but not only that, so out here, so you're in South Africa, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have crypto.
I'm literally.
They have crypto, and they have a cryptocurrency out there, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few big exchanges here. There's a big cryptocurrency culture. People buy it and use it and stuff. I mean, it's actually a better store of value than our own national currency, the South African rand. And our exchange rate slipped quite a bit against the US dollar. We're sitting at like 17 rand 60 to the dollar, which is bad for us. It's great for our exports, but it's terrible for everything else. So, I mean, we actually invest in crypto. Well, I do. I invest every month. I do a dollar cost average invested into it, and I just hodl and just keep it in there for the future, because it appreciates over time, Whereas if I keep it in my own currency, then it just will lose its value.
Mm-hmm. So we have cryptos that are being used. And here in the United States, they have a digital dollar that they're working on, basically the Federal Reserve, looking to create a digital currency. You have Facebook Libra coming out with the digital currency mm-hmm. in October. You have Canada mm-hmm. working on one, France working on one. China's probably done by now. They just probably haven't deployed it for good reason right now. You know what I mean? So those things alone are going to kill KBC. It's going to make coins like Bitcoin separate from other coins that just aren't as popular or have utility or any other use case. So you're 100% right.
Yeah.
The coin doesn't have a chance. Even if they were sincere at this point, the coin probably will not make it past this year, especially with now the economy tanking. Who's going to use a coin that you need? A thousand of them just to buy a can of soda. Why would you use a coin like that? Nobody is trading it. Nobody accepts it. Like you said, it's only used to pay for fees internally to basically buy back
mm-hmm.
overpriced materials. You know what I mean, it's like not only that. Like when you you mentioned this as well when you wrote that article. So those packages, because I used to be involved in this. So those packages that you were mentioning in your article, the first one you wrote. So when you buy those, you're not. Then they'll also give you free currency. So you can't even like directly just buy the KBC. You know what I mean?
No. I think there's different packages now because I've changed some of them. Initially, the classic packages are those ones, so they come with free KBC. I think you can actually buy packages now that don't have any physical gold in them, just KBC. They've actually diluted the packages. I'm not 100% sure what the current ones are. Like the multi packages are literally just it's.
You're not coming through. If you're speaking right now, you're not coming through. Hello. I don't know if we lost him or not. I see he's still on. He's still on via the studio. Hello. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I could not connect through the way I typically do, so I had to use the phone. It makes it a little bit harder to run all this studio stuff. I do notice people popping in, popping out. If you have any questions, let me just see if we still. Let me refresh this to see. He kind of cut off mid-sentence, so I don't know if his phone call dropped. He is internationally calling right now. To those listening, if you have any questions or comments, I'll try to refresh this. Okay, boom. I think we got him.
Okay, boom.
Activity.
Are you getting any more questions from the clan?
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to see what some of these people are popping in. I don't know if you know. You cut. It sounds like you cut off for a minute. Maybe you accidentally hit the mute or something mid sentence.
Just went dead. So I didn't hear anything on your side. It's literally just
So let me see if we got some questions here. Yeah, so anybody that's listening in can actually use the call-in number, or you can post comments or questions in the chat. I'm just looking over some questions from previous. So one person was trying to make a comparison. So I understand that some of you guys, it's hard to accept. I get it. Like if you've invested in this and you've been sold on this and you believed in it, it's hard to accept that what people are telling you, when they're telling you the truth and facts And I know that some of you have questions yourself, some of them that haven't been answered. Some of them you may even be afraid to ask. Some of them you may not have enough knowledge on the subject to even know to ask. So one of the questions here from Michael Briggs was Bitcoin under a penny at one time, and what's a utility coin? If you want, you want to take that?
What was the first bit? Is Bitcoin A? Sorry.
It was like, what is was Bitcoin under a penny at one time? He's making a comparison that, hey, perhaps just because it's a crap coin now, it may bounce and be the next Bitcoin, I guess is the what he's implying.
Okay. Is sorry, I don't fully understand that question.
Well, I think the argument that he's making is that just because this coin is worth less than a penny, wasn't Bitcoin at one point not worth much as well?
I see. Yeah. So that's a valid question. So, I mean, that's one of the arguments that people use. Say, KBC is a good investment because it's low, and if you buy in now, it's going to grow. But I think we've seen that historically. I mean, Bitcoin, if you look at Bitcoin's historical value, it has gone up, but every year it has a new all-time, a yearly high. So each year it ends on a higher average than the previous year. And that's been true since the beginning for Bitcoin. But KBC, you cannot say the same for that. So it's actually a bad investment because if you buy in now, next year it will probably be lower. So it's a really bad store of value. So not at all. It's actually the opposite of Bitcoin because it has no utility. It's not backed by anything. And people don't believe in it enough to use it for anything else than just to, pump it and then sell it again. So it's a terrible coin to buy. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. Nor do it seem like anyone that is really like respectable in the crypto community, they don't touch it. You never hear none of the guys that you would really respect as a messenger in crypto, they never do it. There's so many articles written on it. You don't hear Bitcoin is a scam article. I've never heard of Bitcoin as a scam article in my life.
No, exactly. I know of at least three prominent people in the crypto community that have called out Carrot Balls as a scam. One is Andreas Antonopoulos. He said on Twitter that it's a scam. And then there's also Fluffy Pony, the guy, he was the lead maintainer of Monero. He's also said it's a scam. He's actually based in South Africa as well. And then Vinny Lingham, who runs Heads Up Civic, which is also a coin, cryptocurrency, he's based in the States. He's also said that it's a scam and he doesn't endorse it because some of our South African affiliates have posted photos of themselves at conferences with these people. And then they claim to be crypto, influencers in the crypto community. So they've actually been called out on it openly that they are scam artists and that they try and associate themselves and they are actually deceptive by portraying themselves as being insiders in the crypto community when they're actually just preying on people and using that as evidence or fake evidence.
Yeah, so I mean, Andreas Antonopoulos is like one of the best developers in the blockchain. He's like a god when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know, that he calls it a scam. You shouldn't have to know anything else. That alone should be case closed for you guys.
Right.
So I urge you guys to start learning about this stuff. Start earning about this stuff right now, because right now you actually do have a good opportunity to take advantage of things as this market is down, as things are crashing, and as this money is going digital. You have an opportunity to get some real coins, learn some real things like decentralized apps and DeFi. Learn some things that you could really leverage for wealth. Buy gold, fine. Buy gold, that's not a bad idea, but telling you.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. And Andreas Antonopoulos actually wrote some really good books on crypto. I mean, he wrote Mastering Bitcoin, and I think there's also Mastering Ethereum. And I think he's doing something on the Lightning Network as well. But his books are really great. I've actually worked through a part of the Bitcoin one, and it's really in depth. It's more for developers actually, but you can skip the sections where you actually get into the code and still read the rest of it. But it's a really, really in-depth understanding of Bitcoin. So he really knows his stuff.
Yeah, I've been reading Mastering Ethereum, actually. He's one of the foundations of this. So, you know, I mean, I'm teaching myself Solidity so I can program smart contracts and stuff.
Awesome. That's really good knowledge.
So,
I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't programmed.
Hello? You went blank if you're talking, man. You went blank if you're talking, man. Damn it. I have to run this one back. Oh, we lost them. Damn it. Yep. Jeez, I was just going to ask some good questions about programming. We'll see if he can call in, because it is still open for calling. We haven't hit the point of being in overtime. My instinct is telling me that we're probably just going to have to redo this. I don't know if you guys can hear me. My instinct is telling me we're probably going to have to redo this, right? We could do it a little bit cleaner. Like I said, my assistant isn't with me because of the quarantine. But seriously, I wasn't able to do the connectivity that I typically do when I do these shows. So I had to kind of plug in. I had to kind of do it on some ghetto plug in ways I typically don't. So it's not running as smoothly as possible. So I apologize for that. I'll give a couple minutes for him to call in. And if not, then what I'll do is we'll try to reschedule it. Although there are a lot of good nuggets and jewels that he's already dropped that you guys should really consider. And like I said, my personality and how I speak about it, and I might poke a little fun, but it's just at this point, I'm sorry to say, it's so ridiculous that what else can I do but kind of laugh once in a while? I mean, it's a serious matter, but it's ridiculous because for those who are sincere about trying to really learn something, I'm with you 100%. And that's exactly what you should do. Continue to learn stuff. Then you'll be able to accept it for what it is, but then you'll figure out a different way how to maneuver in this cryptocurrency and blockchain space. I promise you, you will. Because when I first got into this, it was because of Karat Bars and KBC. But since it took long for my KYC, my Know Your Customer, to get verified, since they took so long doing that, I ended up learning about other realms in crypto. And as I did that, I never even really looked back at KBC because I realized that couldn't work. And I started doing things that are very tangible with this crypto. And I created actually my own ecosystem of crypto that evolve around different things that it is passive income. Some of it's active income. And I learned about different things you could do with DeFi to hold value and get 6 to 8%, and how to loan and borrow with crypto, and how to use it even in different things that I do for hobbies like playing poker and betting sports, and how to actually use it in real life and spend money with credit cards on crypto. These things exist, and there's more to it, but you have to kind of learn and maneuver. And if you're being introduced, it's like this. Crypto was actually created, I'm going to end this, but crypto was actually created so that you don't have to rely on banks, and as a response to the bailouts in the economy tank from the Federal Reserve System. But now you have people that are basically trying to replace the Federal Reserve. We're trying to abolish and have a store of value that's not dependent on Federal Reserve and central bank currencies. They're trying to be a new central bank currency and basically mimic some of that, and they're ripping you off the same way. So think about that. Learn this. Blockchain Crypto Gang Facebook group. Follow Crypto Podcast. Subscribe. I will try to get a hold of Lewis Neal and do another interview. I'm hoping that he'd be willing to do that, and I'll make sure that the connectivity is a little bit better, and if I can connect directly the way I typically do when I run these, because I'm running this on two different platforms. I'm running this on Blog Talk. I'm also running this simultaneously through YouTube, and because of the glitch on the Blog Talk right now, it's difficult to run it through just one stream like typically, so it's causing technical issues. I apologize to you guys for that, but I'm going to go ahead and end this now. Peace. And once again, I do thank my guest because he did come call all the way in from Africa. And I can't close this down because this damn screen is locked. Good luck, y'all. Be safe.